I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You've tuned in to Sci-Fi Fidelity, episode 81, The Expanse Interview.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. It's Mike and Dave with you here once again with an interview edition. It's been a while since we've done one of these, but this one's really kind of been a build-up, Dave, because we've had our Expanse giveaway for the art and making of The Expanse from Titan Books, and just timed it perfectly with our interview with Dominique Tipper and Naren Shankar of The Expanse season 4 is about to come up in December. So kind of a perfect storm here.
Yeah, because I don't want to say that the interview is secondary to the drawing, but we know kind of what is going to unfold with the interview, not so the drawing.
Yeah, exactly. So we're about to pull the names for the three winners of our giveaway. And thank you to the many, many people. We got just a great number of people, more than I expected, certainly, to enter the contest. And so it made it very exciting. We got a few new followers on Twitter, and we got a few new members of our Facebook group as well. So worked out nicely in that respect. So we're going to get into our interview with Naren Shankar and Dominique Tipper. And if, in some cases, I think it'll make the people who didn't win feel better because they will have that to look forward to. So here we go. I'm going to spin this little wheel, this website that I found that helps me pick random names. And we're going to go ahead and click the button here.
What can't you find on the internet these days?
Exactly. All right, here it goes. It's slowing down. And our first winner is Desert Granite from Twitter. His name is Andrew. Andrew says his answer for the favorite character is absolutely Alex. He holds together the ship with optimism and perseverance. However, how many men also undergo a version of his choice between space and his family as we struggle to find our calling? He is a reflection of the lives of family men. What a great answer there, Andrew. That's actually mirrored a little bit in the interview that we have for you. We ask a little bit about character backstories. So yeah, Alex is a great one and not a common one. Dave, do you have a guess as to who was the most commonly picked favorite character of the four Rocinante crew?
Yeah, I see. Now, I wouldn't pick one of the Rocinante crew unless you consider Drummer part of the crew, and she's really not. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But Alex is certainly one of those characters that it's easy to forget him because, you know, he's always up in the pilot's seat, and he's generally not as active in the fighting like everybody else. So great choice. And as you said, great description of why you like him.
Yeah, exactly. If you could win on that alone, you would have won anyway. So congratulations to Andrew. I'm going to go ahead and click on it again to see who's our next winner. Round and round it goes. And our next winner is Star Seuss from Twitter as well. We had a huge number of people that entered on Twitter compared to Facebook, which I was not expecting, but that's very cool. Star Seuss, also known as Amanda. Amanda says she chooses Amos because he always protects those that need protecting and continues to try and improve. And Dave, the answer to my earlier question, who was the most commonly chosen favorite character? It was Amos. Amos was by far the favorite.
Yeah, I can see that.
So congratulations, Amanda. That's our second winner. And one more. Let's go ahead and click it one last time, and then we'll get into our interview. All right, here we go. All right, here it goes. And our last winner is, from Facebook, Carolyn Tsai.
All right.
Yeah, Carolyn has been around with us for a while with a number of our different podcasts. So I'm glad we had at least one winner from Facebook. There was only a dozen or so entries on that part of our social media. I actually got to meet Carolyn at Dragon Con a number of years ago, back in our Continuum days. So I'm very happy that one of our longtime listeners got one of the prizes. Carolyn's answer to the giveaway for favorite character was, "Though hard to choose a favorite, I am partial to Amos. He is that crazy big brother you always want on your side. He has so many layers, and it seems we learn more about him each episode. I haven't read the books, but he is definitely one of my favorites." And this, that's an interesting thing, because I've read all the books, and Amos is a great character in the books too, but Wes Chatham takes it to another level. Definitely even makes the character even better than he is in the books. So, yep, great choice. And congratulations to Amanda, Andrew, and Carolyn. We'll get those books right at you. The publisher will send them direct, so they should be there within a couple weeks, hopefully in time for the holidays.
Exciting, I'll tell you. What a great Christmas present.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and get into our interview. And this was an interesting one. I mentioned last week that I actually was originally trying to get a couple of people we haven't talked to yet, but we ended up getting a repeat of the two people we've already had on the podcast, Naren Shankar and Dominic Tipper. And they're just great people to talk to if you want the inside scoop without spoilers. They just know how to tease out the details. Just so. And of course, it never hurts to have the showrunner anyway, because you can ask a lot more open-ended questions.
Yeah. And they pretty much know what they can tell us and what they can't. Not that the actors don't, but we have had an actor or two slip up and get back in touch with us a few hours later. "Hey, I wasn't supposed to tell you that."
Yeah. And of course, it was a little bit tricky because we weren't sure exactly who we were going to be talking to, because they were filming for season 5. And so there was a lot of activity going on. And so there were some last-minute substitutions. So you may detect that Dave and I had to kind of come up with a few of the questions on the fly. But I think we held ourselves pretty well, Dave.
Yeah, I think so as well.
And I'm sure plenty of you already know this, but season 4 of The Expanse is coming up on December 13th. But as I mentioned, Naren Shankar and Dominic Tipper spoke to us from a press day on the set of The Expanse season 5, which is currently filming. You may know that Naren is the showrunner, and he's the kind of science nerd you really want as a genre TV writer. And he really did a lot of science talk with us in our last interview with him during season 3. And you may also remember he did a lot with Farscape and The Outer Limits as well, which he spoke to us back then. And Dominique has a really special place in our heart because she was our very first interviewee when we started Sci-Fi Fidelity back in 2016. And that was when The Expanse had only aired a few episodes, so we were having to sort of get hints about her character at the time. She plays engineer extraordinaire and the only belter on the Rocinante crew, Naomi Nagata. Now, at the time we conducted the interview, we hadn't seen any of the new episodes, but you can actually, at this point, read my spoiler-free thoughts about the first 6 episodes of Season 4 on the Den of Geek website. So, in the meantime, you can enjoy this equally spoiler-free chat that Dave and I had with Naren Shankar and Dominic Tipper. Well, thanks for joining us, Naren and Dominic. I know you're busy filming season 5 at the moment, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. How's it going so far up there in Toronto?
It's going great. It's a really good season.
Having fun.
Now, we just got to see the trailer recently for season 4 and see that part of the story takes place on a new planet, which the Belter settlement calls Illus, which the Earth Corporation, seeking to lay claim to its resources, calls New Terra. So what can you tell us about this new setting for the show?
Well, I think for the Rocinante crew, we're going there as mediators, but I think for Naomi in particular, you know, we very much get to see this season what it takes for a Belter to change themselves and shows what they need to do to their body to kind of step foot on a planet or be in atmosphere. And so I think there's a lot of things riding on Naomi going to Illus, which is she wants to be there as she's the only Belter perspective in the group, and also her own curiosity. And also for her and Holden as an option. So there's a lot riding on it for her personally. And then as a crew, you know, it's weird because I think the beginning of this season is the first time we really see the Rosie crew, like, very comfortable and settled and, like, not pointing fingers at each other. And the conflict for the course of season 4 is very much exterior for them. And they really kind of club together to work through everything as a team in a way that we've never seen before. So, it's an interesting situation to head into for the crew that I don't think we ever really gain control of. But, you know, it wouldn't be a fun season if we did.
And, Naren, what are some of the new characters we'll be meeting with on this new planet?
Well, there's a bunch. I mean, we have, you know, a bunch of Belters who are refugees from Ganymede who are already on Illus to begin with, who are laying claim to the planet. There's Lucia, who becomes one of the focus characters down there. We have a bunch of scientists from the Earth Corporation, RCE, which is a Royal Charter Energy, which is a little tip of the hat that Ty and Daniel, Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham, who wrote the books, they modeled after the East India Company. It was like at a certain point in history, those fucking guys, they had one of the largest standing armies in the world, and they would, you know, they became like sort of extensions of countries' governments, where they would go into places, kill all the locals, mm-hmm. take what they wanted, and bring it back to the homeland. And so you've got Vern Gorman playing Mercury, and he's the head of security on that mission. Lindy Greenwood, who plays Elvie, the scientist, and then Rosie Gilmore, who plays Lucia.
Jess Salguero.
Yeah, playing Chandra Way. So there's a whole bunch of people on Illus that our guys get involved with. And that's only the story on Illus. You got plenty going back on Earth and Mars and the belt as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Now, over the seasons, the audience has come to expect certain aspects of different characters to appear each season, such as Alex piloting in a dogfight, Naomi pulling out some MacGyver-like engineering skills. So can you speak to whether or not we're going to have moments like that in season 4 to look forward to?
Oh, there's a whole heap of that going on. I mean, that's the great thing about season 4. Like, even with the introduction of all the new characters, their arcs kind of play into all the characters that we know and love arcs in a way that just keeps kind of adding to the richness of the characters. And we definitely see a bunch of situations where all our favorite traits from everyone in the Rosie crew gets tested, maybe if that's for want of a better word, and we get to see them. There's so much that happens on Illus that continuously happens. So, yeah, we definitely get to see all that, but also some new stuff as well.
Well, I mean, look, it wouldn't be The Expanse if you didn't have, you know, certain kinds of scenes. But you think we got three different ships, an Earth ship, a Belter ship, and the Rocinante in orbit around it, mm-hmm. an alien planet with machines that were created by the protomolecule mm-hmm. that are slowly coming to life.
Yeah.
Surely, what bad things could happen with
nothing.
That?
Nothing.
Nothing. So, yes, there are plenty of opportunities for showcasing, I think, the elements that The Expanse has come to be known for.
Now, Holden, speaking of the protomolecule, the Holden is presumably still in touch with the Miller aspect of the protomolecule. Has the crew come to accept this aspect of their captain, not to mention the vision he had before the gates opened, or are they still a bit skeptical?
No, I think we've all very much accepted it, which is weird, especially for like Naomi and Holden, because there's just this like weird ghost third wheel in their relationship that comes and makes an appearance in the middle of the night when they're sleeping and stuff. So
Go ahead. We're probably going to tell the same story. It's like, because there's a moment in the second episode where Holden is talking to Miller and Naomi's asleep in the cabin. And the line we had written was, Naomi wakes up and she sees Holden there. And in the script, it says, Naomi says, "What did Miller say?" And Dawn was insistent. She said, "We know who he is. It's just him by now. What did he say?" I was like, yeah, that's a good point. It's been going on for 8 months. This guy shows up. And it's not like Holden has control over it. He shows up when he wants to show up. So it's, that was actually...
So we're all very accepting of it now. Yeah.
It's the way it is, man.
Now, I noticed that backstory isn't a huge part of The Expanse, but we have gotten to see some things like Holden's family back on Earth, Alex's family on Mars. Is there going to be some time to get into some of that in season four, or is there just simply too much going on with Illis to address those kinds of character moments?
We don't dive into it while we're on Illis, no.
Well, we can answer that question in the... There is a way to answer that question.
We
do get into backstories and some very interesting backstories, but I think it's Naomi's. There's a lot of Naomi's past that comes up in the course of season four. There are people from Naomi's past. I mean, you're going to see them. It's like we see Marco, the person that she was involved in that we've been talking about for some time. It's like you get a lot of interesting insights into that. That's one of the big actual reveals of the season.
Now, did you guys get to film more on location rather than just on set for the outdoor shots on Illis?
Yes, we did. It was awful and cold, and we were in a quarry just outside of Toronto, freezing our asses off.
It was a pretty rough location.
But luckily, I was one of the people who wasn't there for as long as, like,
Stephen and Wes. Yeah.
So, which was probably better for everyone, to be honest. I'm not very good at being cold. I'm currently wrapped in a duvet.
In a hotel room.
Yeah, in a hotel room. So it was a bit brutal in that way, but interesting. Like, good for the show. It looks great in the season, but not necessarily great for our souls.
Yeah, when you see the even the first episode of season four, it's a beautiful location. It's very much, we were looking for something. Like a desolate frontier, and we shot in an active quarry, and we used a lot of drone photography to get the vistas, and it's really quite striking. And what you're seeing in there is actually, we did virtually nothing in terms of like visual effects cleanup or changing it. That's the way it looks. It looks alien as hell.
Now, speaking of changes, I'm sure you've kept a lot of the same cast and crew and writers when you switched networks. But will we notice a shift in tone or presentation or scale now that The Expanse is on Amazon?
There's a couple of things that are you will notice, which are the show's going to be in HDR this year, which is which looks incredible. You know, we shot the stuff in Illis in widescreen, 2:3:9:1, and anamorphic. So it has this beautiful sort of, you know, look of like the old Panavision Western.
Very filmic.
Yeah, very filmic quality. And we mix those two different aspect ratios in the episodes. And it's a beautiful look. And, you know, on Amazon, you don't have to worry about content or nudity or language restrictions anymore.
It's sexier, it's darker, it's swearier.
And we don't have to shove every episode into a 43-minute box. It's like some of the episodes are longer, they can breathe, and I think it's really a great thing about being on Amazon.
Now, I just want to mention, I have a soft spot in my heart for this show because Dominique was our very first interview on this podcast back in 2016 when season one first started.
I was.
And Naren, we spoke to you in season three as well, so... We kind of got a chance to nerd out on some of the science and
things like that.
We do. You guys were supporters way early. So
Yeah, I've written all the reviews going back to season one, so I really, and read all the books, so I'm hardcore. But
by the way, those are great reviews. They're really, really, like, we would, like, when we do the live tweets, we would go right over on Den of Geek and it's like, God damn, they got all the, they got all. It's like, but like all that stuff that we go, are we being too subtle? It's like, just like, you guys got the details. That was really cool.
Oh, that's great to hear. I appreciate it.
All right, and one final question for Naren. I mean, we know you like to get deep with the science on this show, and we love that about The Expanse. So did you have a chance to do more things with gravity or perhaps protomolecule tech in season four?
There's lots of cool science going on Illis. It's you know, the protomolecule kind of does what it wants, but you've got three ships in orbit around Illis. You've got the Rossi, the Barba Pickle, this old crappy Belter freighter, and this Edward Israel, the science ship from RCE. There's a lot of things that could happen with those ships when they get into orbit, and you've got the protomolecule fiddling around with physics. So so there is a lot of good stuff coming in that respect in season four.
All right. Well, that's great to hear. Well, thanks so much for talking to us today, guys. We really appreciate it.
And can't wait till you see the season. I hope you're really going to like it. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right. That was a great interview. I was so surprised to find that Naren Shankar actually reads the reviews. I think we've had this a few times. Like you had it with Neil LaBute for Van Helsing. It's just always a shock to not only be read by some of the writers of the shows we talk about and review, but actually appreciate it as well.
Yeah, and especially when they post comments at the bottom of the review, it's a bit intimidating, I must say.
That's for sure. But yeah, it was great to talk to them. They were being a little bit cagey there, but I think they did a good job of teasing out some of the details. I was really surprised to hear we're going to be seeing the character of Marco in season four. That was a really cool little detail they dropped in there. But we've got actually a discussion topic coming up next, Dave. What do we got next week that the listeners can participate in?
All right. Well, if you've been listening to us for any amount of time, you know that when we cover a show, we only look at the first two episodes. So what we're going to talk about next week are shows that we watched the first two, took our notes, did our discussion, and just couldn't stop and ended up binging the entire series. So that should be a lot of fun talking about shows we broke our two-episode rule for.
Yeah, in some cases, broke the two-episode rule even during the discussion or before the discussion. But yeah, these are shows that we came back and just binged even though we were busy and had to really move on to the next show topic in our podcast. We enjoyed it enough. And in fact, the listener involvement with this one is going to be shows that you were exposed to brand new by the podcast by our two-episode discussion, but then you went on and binged the whole thing. So you'll see that discussion pop up on Facebook so the listeners can contribute which ones they really got hooked by as well. But that's next week on the podcast. That's going to be it for this interview edition of Sci-Fi Fidelity. Keep the discussion going on social media. You can follow Den of Geek on Twitter and Facebook at Den of Geek US, and we are at Sci-Fi Fidelity.
And in the meantime, we'd love it if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you access it. And be sure to send us your suggestions for future topics on social media or in an email to scififidelity@gmail.com.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.